Hello, hello. This is Kathy Colas Audiobooks, and today we have episode 21 of The Alpha by E.J. Findorff. Angel is beyond exhaustion and finally goes home to get some sleep, but stumbles across a shocking discovery in the bushes by her apartment. Here we go. The home's overhead light attracted moths, but they weren't very bothersome. A mosquito candle on the banister worked about as well as a voodoo spell. Captain Mercier's wife, Miss Tammy, brought a fresh coffee for Angel as she sat in the rocking chair on the porch of the mid-city home. Mercier sipped on a sweet tea in the opposite chair. His somber voice felt heavy in her ears.
People are posting footage from the game. You realize the world will get to watch these women have their eyes removed, then killed. These sick viewers will have them forever.
If anyone is caught with them, they'll be prosecuted. She sipped from the hot cup. Kyle told me cybercrimes can track the Bitcoin purchase to the buyer's wallet and identify them by the IP on their devices.
Drops of water in the ocean. What about the offshore host?
Practically hopeless. It's not over. We have a lead on a location.
A lead. We had him, and we let him go.
He glanced at Angel sleepily.
I know you spoke to your boss. You have your own authority to answer to.
Mercier stared at the condensation on his tea. This is entirely my fault.
Not entirely. You weren't technically in charge. I let you make that call.
Mercier seemed to take pain in regarding her.
Everyone will want a scapegoat. We can say we all day long. You're going to be the headline. I'm going to get the blame.
I'll take the heat, and the public will know it.
Everyone will be under investigation. I was in that room when this cowboy shit came up. Right call, wrong result.
I'm not done yet.
You don't have much time until the feds bar you. The press has figured out who all the players are. They'll discover your relationship with Maggie.
The FBI agent who used to live with the wife of the blindfold killer.
I'd never believe it.
Yeah, she muttered.
There's too much shit in this. The truth is the only option here. Any impropriety throughout the entire operation will be uncovered and used against you, especially with Bonnet's assassination.
Angel finished her coffee, then placed the cup down. Whatever happens, we wouldn't have been able to live with ourselves if we arrested Wayne and that woman and a 5-year-old girl died because we couldn't find them. That's all the truth I need.
True dat.
Mercier swatted at a mosquito on his arm.
What's your plan now?
Kyle and Ramsey will start fresh in the morning. CSU is at Wayne Holt's residence. I'm heading over there to look through the house again.
You're exhausted. Go home and sleep. Get up at first light and give yourself a few good hours to find them before they pull you.
Mercier watched the street.
If not, you'll be no good tomorrow once shit starts to break.
I will, but I have to use my freedom while I got it. Angel said her goodbyes after a moment of silence and stepped off the porch onto cobblestones that led to a front gate. Her cell rang in her truck. Kyle, you got something?
Nothing on the tabloid story. No digitized police reports. The reporter passed away 7 years ago, and the tabloid company is out of business. Penny Gunnison is dead, and we have no record of the two other women. It almost seems made up.
So you're not pursuing a possible location near Baton Rouge?
They'll continue looking in the morning.
Got it. Okay, I'm getting another call. Thanks, Kyle. She switched lines. Hey, Stewie, what you got?
Nothing yet. My mom is baking cookies to help.
She's so cute. Angel smiled. Great woman.
I swear I'm going to work on this until I pass out.
Thanks, Stewie. Keep me updated.
Angel drove out of Mercier's neighborhood toward Maggie's house. It didn't take long to pull onto the street and navigate the quagmire of press and onlookers. She parked directly behind a blue and white. CSU had left, leaving a unit to guard the house against interlopers. She walked past the yellow tape toward the house. Every light was on. Angel nodded to an officer guarding the door, then started in the attic. The place had been ransacked and anything of use taken away. Only junk remained. After a few minutes of sorting things, the heat made her dizzy. She carefully made it down the ladder, checking the dresser drawers in the master bedroom, which they had already done several times. The uniformed cop she encountered earlier cleared his throat from the doorway.
"At least we know who he is, right? Anything new?"
"Nothing." Angel slammed a drawer.
"Any word on the Sable?"
She tried not to sound annoyed.
"Not yet." "You look wiped out."
Angel turned to him, silent. The officer leaned against the door. She felt her balance wavering and her vision blurred.
"Anything else you want to add?"
"You don't look so good. You ate? I got an extra sandwich my wife made. Good boost of protein will give you some pep."
Angel's bloodshot eyes went out of focus.
"Maybe. A bite."
"I'll get it."
Angel waited for him to clear the room before falling onto her butt. She squeezed her eyes shut as the room spun. A quick slap to her face brought her back. Mercier was right. She needed to get home for a little bit of sleep, or she'd be useless when the morning came. Angel and Maggie had picked out their apartment because each unit's entrance faced out, meaning there were no hallways or neighbors' doors facing each other. There had been attempts to blend it into the neighborhood after construction in 1965, but it fell embarrassingly short. The property had nothing that stood out character-wise. No history like that of the pirate Jean Lafitte, the city's founder Bienville, or the Civil War to brag about. Besides the wrought iron balconies and hanging plants, there was nothing New Orleans about it. The massive oak trees surrounding the property hid the mediocrity. Four buildings called clusters were surrounded by waist-high hedges, breaking at each unit's entrance. On an agent's salary, Angel supposed she could find a meager house on an okay street, but the thought of moving just seemed like a bad idea. She had become friends with her ghosts, and she would miss them. Angel parked in her spot just outside of Cluster D, Unit 3. That cop's ham sandwich helped, but her body knew sleep was imminent as her muscles fumbled to perform the most automatic duties. She yawned incessantly. As her feet dragged along the pathway, she noticed the sconce on the side of the door was out. She assessed the scene to the left and right but saw nothing out of the ordinary. Everyone else had electricity. The parked cars in her line of sight were empty. She palmed her Glock in the holster and silently eased to the waist-high bushes, checking to see if someone was waiting to spring out. Positioned just 2 feet from her door, Angel saw nothing between the brick wall and bushes on the left side. But the right side was different. A body lay in the gap, covered with a smattering of leaves. She pivoted for a quick survey before stepping up to a female dressed in jeans and a shirt. Gauze was wrapped around her head.
"Don't be Maggie. Don't be her."
She crouched in the narrow space, bending the bushes against her backside and turned the body's shoulder so it faced up. Courtney Black lay before her, still warm. Her chest rose and fell with breath. The gauze was bright white. Angel used a finger to push the bandage up to expose her eyelid, then used her thumb to lift it.
Her eye was still there. Both eyes were.
She fumbled with her phone to dial 911. While briefing the dispatcher, she noticed a discolored sliver sticking out from where she moved the gauze. It was paper on closer inspection. Angel hung up on the dispatcher and unwrapped the gauze until revealing a note stuck to her forehead. For good measure, she put her fingers on Courtney's neck. She had a strong heartbeat. Angel removed the paper as her phone rang again, but it was the emergency operator trying to call back. She answered, quickly informing the operator of who she was and why she couldn't stay on the line. Sirens wailed in the distance. Angel rushed back to the rock while instructing Ramsey to wake the team. She pulled out a pair of latex gloves from her truck, placing an extra set in her left pocket. In proper light, she examined the paper. It read,
"Here's that favor. You should hurry if you want to find Maggie in the same condition."
Courtney moaned like she had a hangover. He left her alive because she had asked. Angel mumbled, "I'm going to find you, Maggie." Law enforcement quickly overran the apartment complex. Two squads arrived first, making way for the paramedics that were minutes behind. Angel paced near Courtney like a guard dog until the medics rushed past her. "I unrolled the gauze to assess any injury," Angel said. "I barely moved her."
"Good breath sounds," one said.
"Strong pulse," the other added.
After quickly checking her vitals, they rushed to the back of the ambulance for a board and a gurney. She was stable enough for transport.
"Can she speak?" Angel asked the female paramedic. "I need to question her."
The medics didn't stop pushing her into the ambulance.
"She's not lucid. We don't know what kind of drugs might be in her system. You can't question her here."
The driver wasted no time getting into the cab to speed off the property. Ramsey arrived in his Cherokee, passing the lit-up ambulance as it turned onto the street. In that time, patrol cops had strung up caution tape around random trees, blocking the residents from getting good video on their cells. They confined a much larger area than necessary, considering this was a secondary scene.
"How is she?" Ramsey asked first.
"Looks fine. She still has everything."
Angel swirled her fingers around her face.
"We can question her after she's treated. She has to know Wayne's location. Why else drop her off alive?"
"What happened up to the point of finding her?"
Angel offered Ramsey a quick recap of what she had walked into, finishing with the paper, slapping it into Ramsey's hand.
"He sees it as a trade."
"I'll take the win."
Kyle finally appeared in a baseball cap, jeans, and a Patriots t-shirt. CSU arrived behind him, having double duty after finishing the processing of Maggie's house. Everyone dragged their feet. Angel briefed Kyle just as she had for Ramsey. Kyle then read the statement.
Ramsey said, "Until we hear from Stewie or your people, we have no other addresses, current or former, to check."
"So I'm going to the hospital."
"Not yet," Ramsey said. "Let's finish up here."
The CSU team swept the area. The senior female tech waved to Angel.
"No one broke in. Locks are intact. You can go in your place and do an inventory."
Angel glanced at Kyle and Ramsey. "I'll double check. Then we'll go. Anyone want a water? Coffee?" They each shook their head. Angel entered her apartment, seeing no surprises from Wayne. She stopped at the refrigerator for a bottle of water, immediately consuming it. The chill spread in her belly. With nothing else to check, she stood in the doorway entrance, looking out at the scene in progress. Nothing in her line of sight was tagged. It was as if someone had carried Courtney to the door, then tossed her like a sack of potting soil between the wall and hedges. The question Angel couldn't wrap her head around was why.
"Because the game will play out this way."
Was there a camera on them now? Angel made her way back to the truck where Kyle and Ramsey were conversing.
She propped herself against the fender. They were debating what their new parameters might be. She said, "I'm heading to the hospital. If Courtney has a location, I'll get it." Kyle took hold of her arm.
"I know I'm just a consultant, but physically, going there is a waste of time. We call for her condition, and we'll ask over the phone when she's conscious."
A questioning over the phone? Angel squinted at him as if he was a different person. "You're trying to keep me off the case. You and Ramsey." He looked at everyone.
"My team is coming in as well as cybercrimes. The director is sending someone to take over. Given the method of distribution, it's the Bureau's jurisdiction. They're going to start shutting you down this morning. We'll both be consulting from now on."
"Stall it," Angel suggested. "Divert them away from us in some way. We need time. Let me call Donald Lester."
Kyle dipped his head. "Don't worry. You'll be a part of this to the end. And we'll question Courtney Black soon enough."
"I'm the focus. You can't sideline me."
"I think it's the opposite," Ramsey said. "This'll draw them out if they want you there."
Angel spotted Stuart racing toward her with his laptop like a mirage in the desert. She waited to make sure everyone saw him as well. She said, "Stuart, tell us you found something." The skinny man almost stumbled to a halt. "I did. There's a Donna Holiday living in Mid-City. She changed her name after that article came out in the tabloid."
"So the story's real?" Angel asked.
"It's real, and that abandoned facility was demolished. The address doesn't exist anymore."
"We should still go check the land," Angel said. "At least send a trooper to the property up there."
"Mid-City's where the car was," Ramsey pointed out.
Stuart nodded. "The house is still occupied by Donna Holiday, who was previously Donna Fellows." The team's eyes collectively grew wide.
"Excellent work, Stewie," Kyle offered. "But if Fellows' mom still lives there, he won't be bringing women around."
Angel scratched at her neck. "If is right. Who knows what the situation is? Is she blind? Maybe he's got her hostage. Point is, we have to go there now."
"Angel," Ramsey started, "we need to go over our options before charging in."
"We're going to knock, and we're going to ask questions." She stepped to Kyle. "What's different from any other time? How are we not driving there by now?"
Ramsey secured Angel's shoulder. "What's different is alerting them to what we know. It's actually your mantra. We need to discuss the ramifications."
"Imminent danger." Angel pounded her fist in her hand. "We don't need a warrant."
Kyle said, "Theoretically, maybe the mother isn't there anymore. Maybe he killed her and is collecting her mail. Maybe the house is wired to explode."
He was right. Angel pulled at her hair before patting it down. "I get it. We can't go to the hospital. We can't go to the house. What can we do, Ramsey? Kyle? What can we do?"
The pair bracketed Angel, as if ready to take her down.
Kyle touched her back.
"We need to run this by Captain Mercier first, before he's instructed to back off. And I think calling in SWAT is a good idea."
"Fine, but we can get to the house in the meantime."
Ramsey blocked her path.
Angel had never seen his expression so serious.
"Give me your keys. You're not driving."
"Seriously? I'm fine."
"It's gonna take some time for Mercier to square things away with SWAT and have them meet us. Plus, new feds will need to coordinate things. You're going to take that time to close your eyes in my passenger seat."
"Unbelievable," she stated. "No, we're going right now. Right now." Angel's knees buckled. Kyle caught her before hitting the ground. The world spun in circles. Ramsey opened the door to his SUV.
"Here, have a seat."
I'm okay.
But that was farthest from the truth.
We got some sleep. I'ma assume you haven't eaten either. So I'm asserting my rights as the real lead on this case.
Seriously?
She mumbled in resignation.
Don't feel so. I'm... didn't eat.
Fine.
Just close my eyes a second.
She leaned her head back and drifted away.
And there you have it. Don't forget to join me on Monday for episode 22 of The Alpha by E.J. Findorff. I'll be interviewing E.J. next Friday, so you can get some inside author information. I'll keep you posted on that. To check out more of my work, go to my website at kathycolas.com. That's kathycolas.com. If you're an author looking to turn your book into an audiobook, email me at kathycolas@gmail.com. Let's talk. And if you like the podcast, please leave a review or share it on social media. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you on Monday.